the concept they say is, well, it's because another, you know, if you travel back in time, you are changing the timeline and therefore you are creating a new timeline. So it's a multiverse kind of time travel world.
That's Jacqueline Moriarty, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Ahead, we'll talk about her novel, Time Travel for Beginners. Jacqueline Moriarty is an award-winning author known for writing novels for both adults and young adults. Her previous books include Gravity is the Thing, A Corner of White, and The Ghost of Ashbury High, just to name a few. Jacqueline, welcome to Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You write in your acknowledgments that you've been working on this novel for 20 years. So tell us about the inspiration for this story.
20 years ago, I was riding a bus along a Sydney street, and I looked out the window and I saw a time travel agency. And I honestly believed for 1 second, maybe just a microsecond, but I completely believed that it was an agency that dealt with time travel and that the secret of time travel had been discovered and that they were sending people on trips back in time, maybe recommending trips that they might go on, putting tours together. And I was so intensely excited for that second. And at the same time, I was thinking, why has this not been in the news? And why are the people, it was just a little suburban street with other shops around, and people were walking past it and not turning to look, and people on the bus weren't looking, and I was thinking, what is going on in the world? This all just took place in a tiny moment in my head, and then I looked back again and saw that a billboard for Time magazine had slipped sideways and was leaning up against the window of a local travel agency. So there was no time travel agency at all. And I was profoundly disappointed, but to cheer myself up, I decided I'd write a book about a time travel agency.
So that was the seed of the idea. Tell us about the plot here. What was the story you ultimately came up with?
Well, it took a long, I mean, that's partly why it took so long to write, because I just loved the concept of the time travel agency. And most of my books I've found start with a character, and then the character comes into my head as a voice and they start telling the story. So with this one, I had to start from a different direction and find characters. And the first character who came to mind with was one of the, there are three main characters, and one of them is Anna. And I liked the idea of somebody getting a job at the time travel agency, and that the place is somewhere like that storefront that I saw on the Sydney street that people walk by and that is not in the news and is maybe laughed at, and that is a little storefront just between a gelato bar and a sushi place that promises its customers short journeys back in time. And you can go back in time to the Stone Age or even further back to the time of when the world was just primordial sludge. Or you can go to your own living room a week ago, and you can go back in your own life. But the catch is that nothing in the present has changed when you come back. So that's partly why people don't believe it's real. But the concept they say is, well, it's because another, you know, if you travel back in time, you are changing the timeline and therefore you are creating a new timeline. So it's a multiverse kind of time travel world.
So, as you pointed out, that's why some people, even if they take the trip, think, oh, well, this is fake because it didn't change anything. So it doesn't give them the answers that they necessarily want in a particular situation, because they can't change things.
Exactly. And also in this time, especially of AI and virtual reality, we don't really believe in even our own eyes anymore. So you could go back on a trip and you have an immersive experience. And as you say, when you come back, nothing has changed. So you think, well, that was all just either virtual reality, or you've given me hallucinogenics and made me imagine that it happened, and none of that is real. But it's still, so you can still have the pleasure of the adventure of time travel. So I love that aspect of time travel, and that's just what I don't know about you. Do you have that yearning to go back in time, that impossible go back and be in a time when there were horses and carriages and bonnets and parasols and antique, you know, or a time of antique car, you know, they're not antique cars at that time, but just a whole different world. So that to me feels like going through the wardrobe, the door at the back of the wardrobe into another kingdom. But it's real because it actually happened. So I like that idea. So you can have that adventure, and in a way that's good that things haven't changed. And that's one of the reasons I chose that for the book, is that the difficulty of time travel stories is often that that grandfather paradox and the loops that people create, and that accidentally changing reality and making it much worse and having to go back and fix it, and it always becomes messy and complicated. So I thought, this is cleaner. The multiverse form of time travel is clean.
Yeah, the multiverse, you don't have to worry about those sort of things.
Exactly.
So another character here, you have three characters, as you pointed out. There's Anna, and then there's Teddy. Tell us a bit about him.
Sure. Teddy, in a way, was, even before Anna, even before the idea of someone getting a job at a time travel agency, I had originally the idea that I wanted a main character who wants to time travel to look at their relationship and their marriage and figure out where it went wrong. So Teddy is someone whose wife has just left him and has just left him for his brother. And he's devastated and doesn't understand it. And so he wants to time travel to figure out, to look at different parts of his marriage and see where he went wrong. So it's not so much about changing the marriage itself. It's saying, okay, what exactly is the truth? And he goes down a path of, instead of trying to see what's happening in the marriage, he's looking into the relationship he has with his brother from childhood, because why did his brother steal his wife?
And then there's a third character. What can you tell us about Jade?
Sure. And Jade is the third character, and she's a bit more prickly and bristly and sharp-edged. And she happens to be taking creative writing classes upstairs from the time travel agency. And her perspective is that she thinks that the time travel agency is a cruel hoax, and she wants to burn the place down. And she has a big loss in her heart. And that's why she hates the idea of the time travel agency, because she has lost someone very close to her. And the idea that she might be able to go back in time and see that person again is so powerful, but also she doesn't believe it can possibly be true. So that's why she's furious with the place.
And these three lives are interconnected in ways that the reader will just have to find out, because we don't want to get into the spoilers, but there's a lot more to Jade than we realize at the beginning of the book. There are a lot of themes here in this book. And I would say you've got the sci-fi, you know, time travel sort of element, but ultimately it's a love story. And there's a lot of, you know, character development here. But one of the themes I see is the fallibility of memory, because a lot of the people who go back then criticize it because they said, no, that's not the way it happened. But no, it really did happen that way. Their memory's just not correct.
Exactly. And I think that's something that really interested me about it, because have you found that yourself, that your memories, that, you know, you have memories that you're really confident about, but then when you talk to friends or family who were there at the same time, they have completely different perspectives. And I love that about reality, because that gives it that kind of mosaic effect, the kaleidoscope, and the fact that the possibility for other truths. I love it, but I also can't stand it, because I believe my own memories. And I just had a, I wasted hours not long ago researching something, trying to find photographs of a campground where we camped with my family when I was a child. And I was trying to find photographs from the 70s online of this campground and this particular part of the campground, because there'd been a photo in the album and I'd said that was at that campground at Avoca Beach. And my sisters and my mum were saying, no, that wasn't there, that was there. And I was so convinced that I wanted to track that down. I couldn't find any, though, which is really remarkable, because you really think everything is on Google, don't you? You think you can find everything, but you can't. But I'm also interested in memory and its fallibility. After, I've always been interested in that since I used to be a lawyer, and I studied law at Sydney Uni, but I also did a master's in America, and I loved living in America. But part of that master's, one of the courses that we did was on witnesses and the flaws in the system that relies on witnesses. And we read lots of studies on suggestibility, how, you know, there are studies where you can have a person experience something and then bring them back a couple of weeks later and say, do you remember, can you tell us about that experience? Oh, and do you remember when you had the ice cream? And the person says, I didn't think we had ice cream. And they say, yeah, there was a chocolate ice cream. And they're like, oh, I don't know about that. But then 2 months later, when you ask them to describe the experience, they describe an entire delicious chocolate ice cream and the chocolate ice cream melting because their brain has incorporated that into their memory. So I just find that very fascinating.
Another theme that occurs throughout the book is consequences for decisions. And in this case, decisions also result in multiverses, but just being aware of your decisions and how that might impact your life and the life of others is something that's kind of revisited throughout the book.
And I'm also interested in that, especially those, well, small decisions or decisions you make in a moment that seem to take you in different paths. I always think about when I was saying I did a master's in America, and that was at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut. And when I was finished it, I did some interviews in New York law firms, and I was going to start becoming a lawyer. And I have a very vivid memory of the day when I was listening to my answering machine message, and it was someone giving me an offer of a job in a New York law firm. And at the same time, I was looking at a paper I had, which was an application form to continue studying. So I was a bit obsessed with continuing to study law because I had loved studying law. And I had this application to go to England and Cambridge and do a PhD in law. And there was a moment where I was thinking, and I just remember that a sort of chill down my spine thinking, do I follow this studying pursuit to Cambridge, or do I become a completely different person, the person who has a job as a high-flying job as a New York lawyer? And I made the decision that if I got a job as a New York lawyer, I would never probably get the chance to fulfill my childhood dream of being a writer, because that's what I'd always wanted in the back of my mind. And being a lawyer was just, you know, the grown-up thing, because when you grow up, you think, no, that's an imaginary world, the world of being a writer. And I thought, I just felt myself decide, I'm going to go to Cambridge and I'm going to write a novel and I'm going to make myself a writer while I'm doing the PhD. And so that was the decision. And it was this decision that took me in, you know, a completely different path. And I did write my first book while I was there, and because I was so determined.
There are other themes in this book as well, and we won't have time to talk about all of them. But what do you hope that readers will continue to think about after they've finished your novel?
I like the idea that they will think about regret, because I think regret was a big theme for me also, and how you let go of regrets. So I don't want them to think about regrets and start thinking about all the things that they regret, because that would be a negative experience for them. I want them to think about how important it is to acknowledge mistakes you've made and forgive yourself and take the next step in life. And also I would like them to think about, maybe I think often regrets to do with not doing something sooner. I was at the hairdresser just a couple of weeks ago and talking to my hairdresser about this book, and we were talking about the kind of common regrets that people have. And, you know, there's basic things like, I wish I'd flossed my teeth more often, or gone to the dentist, got checkups more often. And now I wish I'd got pet insurance before my puppy fell off the fence. And another hairdresser in the salon turned around and said, I regret not getting sober 10 years sooner than I did. And I thought that is a very common kind of regret, the regret that you didn't take action to change your life sooner than you did. But and that often relates to relationships. I hear so many times people who are in very difficult relationships and they finally find the strength to get out, and they say, why did I not do that 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And so not doing things, so not making changes often is a big regret that you have. But also to forgive yourself for it, because that hairdresser also said, but also I wasn't ready 10 years before I did get sober. I wasn't ready and I had to go through that experience. So I have to accept that that happened at the right time for me. But she was also still, I wish I had. So I would like people to enjoy the book. It's supposed to be fun and it's supposed to be funny, hopefully, and interesting. But if in the back of people's mind, they might think, I might take some action now, let go of this unhealthy relationship or take action in my own mind to forgive myself and say there's no point regretting, then that would make me happy too.
And also want to point out that if you enjoy books that have a twist in it, this book has a big twist in the end. That's all I'm going to say about it, but I didn't see it coming and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
What's next for you?
Well, I also write children's books. I have books for 9 to 12 year olds, and I have a new book, and I have a series called the Kingdoms and Empires series that is a series of standalone books that sometimes are set in our world, and it's a child from our world going to the kingdoms and empires, and sometimes they're set mainly in the kingdoms and empires. And the latest book is called The Accidental World Slip of Astrid Verity, and it's about a 10-year-old girl from the kingdoms and empires who finds herself accidentally trapped in our world. And but I love writing for adults and kids at the same time, so I can use the different parts of my mind. So I have started working on a new grown-up book, which is set in an apartment complex and about different characters in the apartments, and there's a slightly magical edge to it too.
Well, this current book, which I would say also has a slightly magical edge to it in a time travel sort of way, is Time Travel for Beginners. It's by Jacqueline Moriarty. Jacqueline, thank you very much for talking with me today.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for your great questions and for talking with me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.